Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi says, all praise is only for that pure being who has twisted the necks of mighty oppressors and tyrants, broken the backs of great kings, and terminated the hopes of rich treasure owners by way of giving them death. All these people were such that they hated the remembrance of death. But when the command of Allah Ta'ala came, that is the time of death approached, they were thrown into a pit. From high mansions, they were flung beneath the ground. From soft beds in the illumination of lamps, they were thrown into the darkness of the grave. They became now entangled with the insects of the earth. Instead of enjoying delicious food and drink, they were made to roll in dust. Instead of being in the company of friends, they were made to suffer the dreariness of solitude. Have they protected themselves against death by means of a strong fort, or have they adopted any other means to save themselves from death? That is why Nabi Karim Sa'adam has said, an intelligent person is he who has control over his nafs and remains occupied in those deeds which will benefit him after death. Preparation for a certain thing cannot take place unless a person is always concerned about it and always remembers it. A person who is engrossed in this world, entangled in the deceptive things of this world, fascinated by his enjoyments, his heart becomes completely negligent of death. And if death is even sometimes remembered, he dislikes it. With regard to this, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, the translation, the death which you are running away from will seize you. Then you will return to that pure being who knows the unseen and the seen. He will inform you about that which you did in this world. We are discussing the fact that because we all have to leave the world, and the only thing that will be of use to us are the good deeds that we send forward, deposited in the akhirat, that will assist us in the qabr, help us on the day of judgment, qiyamah, when deeds will be weighed on the scale of deeds. So of utmost importance to accumulate as much good deeds as possible. But at the same time, we have to also remember that there are certain actions that have a negative impact on the good deeds that we carry out. In essence, certain actions cancel out the reward of our good deeds. So we have to avoid those actions. Like when a doctor prescribes some medication for a patient, many a time he also advises the patient to abstain from certain foods, because those foods will cancel out the effect of the medication. It will have a negative impact. So he's advised to go on a certain diet to avoid certain foods. So similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has shown us those good deeds that draw the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will be of benefit for a person in the akhirat, that is a prescription for his spiritual ailments, but at the same time, he has to abstain from certain actions that have a totally negative impact, and they can cancel out the reward of his good deeds. For example, in the Quran, Allah ta'ala gives one instance where a person can lose the reward of his good deeds. Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hujurat that يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ أَنْ تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. That, O you who believe, do not raise your voices in front of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and do not speak in loud tones in the presence of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like you speak to one another, lest Allah Ta'ala causes the reward of your good deeds to be obliterated, and you do not even realize that you have lost the value of those good deeds, lost the reward. This verse was revealed on an occasion when a certain rural tribe, Banu Tamim, newly entered Islam, and they came to Medina Munawwara from their village in order to consult with Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Karim sallallahu was occupied with some important work in his household, but these people became impatient. The correcting, adequate, was for them to wait for Nabi Karim Sam to emerge from the home and then sit and engage in discussion. But these people were not educated, they were not acquainted with the etiquette, respect of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So they stood in front of the door of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and called out in a harsh, loud tone, they screamed that, "Ukhruj ilayna ya Muhammad," that, "Oh Muhammad, come from the home, we wish to sit and discuss with you." So on that, this verse was revealed, that, "La tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawti an-nabi." Do not raise your voices above the voice of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Do not speak in loud tones. Further in the same surah, Allah Ta'ala mentions about these people that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُنَادُونَكَ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحُجُرَاتِ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ, that many of these people that call out to you in loud tones from outside the door, they do not possess intelligence. They do not understand that this is disturbing. It is inconveniencing Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ إِلَيْهِمْ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ, that if these people were patient until you came out of the home yourself, that would have been better for them. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. In spite of this short sight on their part, Allah Ta'ala says, if they repent, Allah Ta'ala is merciful, Allah is prepared to forgive them. In the commentary of this verse, ulama tell us, mufassirin say, that even though Nabi Karim Sa'azam, with his physical body, is no more in our midst, he is resting in Medina Munawwara, in the Rawza-e Mubarak. The mufassirin say, the same rule applies today too. When a person goes before the Rawza-e Mubarak, even there you should not speak in loud tones. If something necessary to speak about, speak in hushed tones. Unfortunately today we find, people raise their voices in front of the Rawza-e Mubarak. This also is a sign of disrespect. Especially when there's a huge crowd, we have guards there, we have a duty to perform. We tell the people to keep moving. You cannot stand for a long period of time to read your Salatu Salam. So as you are walking, you can read your Salatu Salam, As-salatu as-salamu alayka, Ya Rasulullah, As-salatu as-salamu alayka, Ya Nabi Allah, Ya Habib Allah. But some people, unfortunately, they begin to remonstrate with the guards. They argue with them. Voices are raised. The guard wants to push them out and they raise their voices. This is disrespect in front of the Rawza-e Aqdas of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This can also lead to a person losing the value and the reward of his good deeds. So these things should be totally avoided. Even worse than that, today we see horrific scenes in front of the Rawza-e Aqdas. People pushing, fighting with one another. In this age of technology, we see people taking selfies, posing in front of the Rawza-e Aqdas. What gross disrespect to the Rawza of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There was a time, many years ago, when people would not be allowed to enter the Haramain with a camera. The bags would be searched, a camera would be confiscated. But now, everyone's smartphone has a camera, and people pose for selfies in front of the Kaabatullah, in front of the Rawza-e Aqdas. What gross disrespect to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Ta'ala protect us, Allah Ta'ala save us. Among those actions that also nullify the reward of good deeds, in one hadith, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَعَهُنَّ عَمَلٌ. There are three actions. By carrying out these actions, a person's good deed will have no value whatsoever. The reward will be cancelled out. What are those three actions that invalidate the reward of good deeds? The first one, Nabi Sallam mentions, a shirk. Ascribing partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shirk is of two types. One is shirk jali, the open shirk, idolatry, worshipping idols, worshipping the sun and the moon, worshipping the stars, worshipping fire. This is open shirk. So obviously if a person in a state of iman accumulated good deeds and he carries out these actions of shirk, it means he has turned apostate, he has become murtad. He will lose the reward of all those good actions. But there is another type of shirk, which is a subtle form of shirk, known as shirk-e khafi, meaning that a person carries out a good deed for name and fame, to brag, to show off, to become ostentatious, so that when I perform long, long nafal namaz, people can regard me as a buzrug, as a great saint. I give charity in full view of the public, so people can call me a generous person. My name can go up in lights, can be splashed across the pages of newspapers, that so and so is very generous. A plaque must be placed in front of a masjid with my name, if I contributed towards this masjid. This is riya, this is showing off, this is ostentation. Because of this, a person loses the reward of that good deed. He cannot expect to get reward for that. He is washing his good deeds down into the drain by bragging, by showing off about it. Good deeds should be done for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without bragging about it, without showing off. That is why one hadith, a sahabi came to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and posed a question about jihad. That rajulun yuqatilu liyuzkar. One person goes out to fight on a battlefield so that he can achieve name and fame, that he fought bravely on the battlefield. People can praise him, that what a brave warrior. Another person goes out on the battlefield in order to acquire the spoils of war, the booty, to earn the world, the dunya. So the sahabi asks Nabi Karim Sa'asim, which of these two people are truly in the path of Allah? Nabi Karim Sa'asim replied that neither of them. The person who is in the path of Allah, رَجُلٌ يُقَاتِلُ لِتَكُونَ كَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ الْعُلْيَا فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. The person who fights in the path of Allah goes out for the pleasure of Allah in order to elevate the deen of Allah Ta'ala. That person is in truth in the path of Allah. He is a true mujahid. He has accumulated good deeds. Whereas when a person does it for name and fame, to attain the spoils of war, then he has no reward for the jihad whatsoever. So therefore very, very important that whatever good deeds we do, we should not do it to brag, to show off, so that our name can go up in lights, so that our names can be splashed across the front pages of newspapers, that so and so did such a good deed. That will totally nullify the reward of those good deeds. Those good deeds will be non-existent. They will not even be presented to be put into the pen of good deeds when the scale is set up for justice on the day of Qiyamah. Another activity mentioned in this hadith that nullifies good deeds, والفرار من الزحف, that for a person to flee like a coward from the battlefield when faced by the enemy forces, without a valid excuse, he flees from the battlefield, such a person's action will be nullified. He went out to fight in the path of Allah, to do jihad, he will get no reward for the jihad. And the third action mentioned in this hadith, one thing that I wish to emphasize upon tonight, uququl walidain, disobedience of parents. This is one action that totally nullifies the reward of good deeds that a person accumulated. Nabi Sa'asim says, ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَعَهُنَّ عَمَلٌ, that because of these three actions, no good deed will have any benefit for a person in the akhirat whatsoever. He is washing those good deeds down into the drain. How important is our treatment to our parents? This is underlined by the Quran Kareem, where Allah Ta'ala mentions the rights of parents alongside his own rights. Allah Ta'ala says, we heard the Imam reciting tonight in Isha Salah these verses from Surah Banu Israel, where Allah Ta'ala says, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah has decreed that you worship none except Allah Ta'ala. And He has decreed that you be kind to your parents, be obedient to your parents. And then further Allah Ta'ala says, إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. That if both your parents or any of your parents reaches old age, in old age a person becomes senile, He harps over and over again over certain matters. The children should excuse his parents. Allah Ta'ala says, when they tell you to do something, do not even say, "Uff." In our terminology, do not even say, "Ah, ah, I will not do this." But one should carry out that instruction immediately. It is haram. If the parent gives a certain command, order, for the child to say, "Ah, I will not do this," he is committing a haram act. That is why the ulama teach us that if we want to save our children from the sin of not carrying out the instruction of the parents also must use a subtle way to give instruction to the children. For example, if a window pane broke in the home, don't tell the son that fix the window. If he refuses, he will be sinful. Rather put it this way, that how nice it would be if the window were fixed up. So al-ishara tu yakfil al-aqil, if he's intelligent, he will understand that my father is referring to me, that I should fix the window pane. But in this case, when the father says, how nice if this window was fixed, then if the son does not obey, does not fix the window, he will not be sinful. Because the father is not giving direct instructions to the son. So Sharia is so beautiful, it has taught us these subtle ways where we can save our children from committing sins as well. But when a father gives an explicit instruction, you do this, then he says, "Oof," he says, "Ah, I will not do this," that child will become sinful. Allah Ta'ala says, وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. They speak kindly to your parents. وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الظُّلْمِ. That lower your wings of humility in front of your parents. Be humble before them. وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبِّيَانِ صَغِيرًا. Make dua for them. That, O Allah, show mercy upon my parents, just as they showed mercy upon me when I was a little child. We should make dua for our parents. So this is something to really ponder over. A person can do how many good deeds, but if he is not kind to his parents, neglects his parents, overlooks the rights of his parents, does not obey his parents, no matter what good deeds he does, those deeds will hold no weight in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith kitab, incident mentioned in Musnad Ahmad, about a sahabi by the name of Al-Qamar radiallahu ta'ala. He was in the throes of death, family members around his bedside, prompting him to recite the kalima, because the hadith tells us that laqtinu mawtakum la ilaha illallah. When people are in sakrat, in the throes of death, encourage them to recite the kalima. In other words, the people around him should begin to recite the kalima themselves, hoping that his last words before his soul is extracted will be the kalima la ilaha illallah. With that hope, people should begin to recite. They should not command him to recite, but read the kalima. Because in that condition of sakarat, he may refuse to recite the kalima. Then he is putting his iman on the line, putting his iman in jeopardy. So encourage them to recite the kalima la ilaha illallah. Because the hadith of Rasulullah Kareem Sallam tells us, Man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah, dakhala al-jannah. The person whose last words are the kalima la ilaha illallah, he makes the dhikr of Allah and leaves the world, he will go into Jannat. There was a muhaddith, scholar of hadith, Abu Zur'a Razi rahmatullahi. When he was in Sakarat, his students gathered around him, and his students adopted a very novel way of encouraging him to recite the kalima. Instead of reciting the kalima around his bedside, they knew he was a muhaddith, he was a hafiz of hundreds of thousands of hadith. So what they did, this particular hadith, in which Rasulullah Kareem Sallam says, Man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah, the person whose last words are the kalima, he will go into Jannat. Instead of reciting the text of the hadith, they began to read out the narrators of this particular hadith. The names of the narrators of the hadith. The so-and-so related from so-and-so, so-and-so from his ustaz, he from his ustaz, until they reached Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The students knew the entire chain of narrators, but deliberately, they reached a certain point of the chain of narrators and appeared to get stuck, that they couldn't mention the next narrator's name. But Abu Zur'a Razi, being a muhaddith, hafiz of hadith, he knew the rest of the chain. He read the rest of the chain of narrators and reached the text of the hadith that man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah. As soon as he said this, he left the world. His eyes closed. His ruh was extracted. Some commentators have expressed a bit of regret that unfortunately he was unable to complete the text of the hadith because there were two words left at the end of the hadith, dakhala al-jannah. Such a person will enter into jannah. So this was indeed unfortunate, he could not say the last two words. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Hassan Sahib Gangohi rahmatullah used to say that completion of a text can occur verbally, it can also occur by action. So even though verbally Abu Zur'a Razi was unable to articulate dakhal al-jannah, but Hazrat Mufti Sahib used to say, inshallah, he completed the hadith by action, inshallah, by being granted a decree of entry into Jannah, inshallah. Because the last words were, La ilaha illallah. So nevertheless, this hadith in Musnad Ahmad, a sahabi by the name of Al-Qamar radiallahu ta'ala, in Sakarat, family members reciting the kalima around his bedside, he is trying to articulate the kalima, but it would not emerge from his lips. Try as he might, he could not recite the kalima. People brought this to the notice of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By way of divine revelation, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was informed that the reason why he cannot recite the kalima at the time of death is that he had displeased his mother. His mother was not pleased with him. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent someone to summon the mother. So when the person went to call the mother, Nabi Karim SAW sent instructions that tell the old lady that either she comes to me or I go to her home. So she knew this was a sign of disrespect to expect Nabi SAW to come to my door. So she made preparation and she went to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Nabi Karim SAW said to her, are you displeased with your son? She said, yes. Nabi SAW made inquiries. What is the reason for this? So she replied that in domestic matters, my son used to give preference to his wife over the mother, which is a sad state of affairs today. Many people give more preference to their wives than their mothers. That mother that brought them into the world, that is forever the mother, from birth till death, even after death, he will be regarded as a child of his mother. A wife is there today, tomorrow if divorce takes place, she is no longer a person's wife. A mother is there forever. So because in domestic matters, this son was giving preference to his wife over the mother, that is why she was displeased. And this was no ordinary sahabi. The hadith mentions, he was tahajjud guzar. He used to keep a lot of nafar rozas. He was punctual with his salah wa jamaat. But no matter how many good deeds he did, how much tahajjud he read, but because he was displeasing his parent, he could not even recite the kalima. Nabi Karim SAW became concerned. Nabi SAW had concern for every single ummati, that how that ummati can be saved from the fire of Jahannam. Nabi SAW said to Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, they bring some firewood. Firewood was brought. The mother became worried. What is the reason for this? Nabi SAW was about to give instructions to light the firewood, to set it alight. The mother inquired, what is the reason for this? At the bedside of my son leaving the world, you are giving instructions to light a fire. Nabi Karim SAW said, he deserves to be thrown into this fire. That the fire of this world will be lighter than the fire of Jahannam. He deserves to die in this manner, burned to death, because he has displeased his mother. A mother is after all a mother. She could not bear to see her son burn in that fire. Eventually, when she heard that Nabi SAW is about to give instruction to light the fire, throw her son into the fire, she eventually said that, O Nabi of Allah, I have forgiven my son. No sooner did she say this, immediately the kalima was recited on the lips of Al-Qamar radiallahu ta'ala, and he passed away with the kalima. So look at this. Tahajjud guzar, many nafal rozas, punctual with his salah, many more services towards deen, but nothing of benefit. Why? Disrespect to the parents, displeasing the parents. There is something that can even prevent a person from having a good death. So something for us to take into consideration. A sahabi came to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked, Ya Rasulullah, man ahakku bi sahabati? That from all the people, who deserves the most my kind and loving companionship? Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, Ummuk. The person most deserving of your good conduct, of your good companionship, is your mother. Then he asked, Thumma man? After the mother, who? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Thumma ummuk. Then also your mother. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, that person asked again, Thumma man? Third time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, Thumma ummuk. When he asked for the fourth time, Thumma man? Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Thumma abuk. Then your father. Showing that the mother has more rights over the father. Of course, it does not mean that the children should be disrespectful, disobedient to their father. Allah Ta'ala is trying to show, by virtue of this hadith, the status of a mother. Why has she been accorded three rights as opposed to one right of the father? Ulama have written that because a mother goes through three difficult phases that the father doesn't go through. First and foremost, she carries the fetus for 9 months, nurtures the embryo with her own blood for 9 months. The first phase, the father doesn't have to experience this. Secondly, when giving birth, she goes through the difficulty and the pangs of labor, which the father does not have to experience. And thirdly, then she breastfeeds the child for about a period of 2 years, which the father doesn't have to do. So because of these three difficulties the mother goes through, Shariat has accorded three rights to the mother as opposed to one right of the father. So we should value our parents, father and mother. The hadith tells us, إِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ تَحْتَ أَقْدَامِ الْأُمَّهَاتِ Jannat lies beneath the feet of the mother. At the same time another hadith tells us that your father is either your door to Jannat or your door to Jahannam. Obey him, he is your door to Jannat. Disrespect him, disobey him, he is your door to Jahannam. In the time of Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, a person came for Hajj all the way from Yemen. He had his old frail mother with him with great difficulty. He brought her traveling all these hundreds of miles to Makkatul Mukarramah. And then because of her disability, she could not walk. There were no wheelchairs in those days. The son carried his mother upon his shoulders and made her do the tawaf in that manner. After doing this, the son came to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and explained to him that this is what I have done. Brought my mother all the way from Yemen with great difficulty, carried her upon my shoulders, to allow her to make tawaf of the Kaabatullah. Tell me, O Umar, have I fulfilled the right of my mother? Nabi Hazrat Umar replied that, listen, young man, by doing and going through all these difficulties, you have not fulfilled even the right of one drop of milk that your mother breastfed you with. Such is the right of the mother. In some kitabs, the incident of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu salam is written, that once Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu salam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, O Allah, who will be my companion in Jannat? So he got the reply by divine revelation, that go to a certain town, there is a certain young man running a butcher, that person will be your companion in Jannat. So he went to that particular town, he made inquiries, found the local butcher. It was time to close shop. The butcher was locking the shop. And from his butcher, Hazrat Musa ﷺ noticed that he took out from his shop, from the store, a piece of meat, mutton, whatever the case may be, taking it along with him to the house. Hazrat Musa ﷺ said to him, that can I accompany you? I wish to stay in your company. Obviously, the Musa ﷺ was curious to know that what good deed is he doing that has made him deserving of being in the companionship of the Nabi of the time, of Musa ﷺ. But Musa ﷺ followed him home. He took permission. He entered the home of the young man. The young man, as soon as he entered the home, he went into one corner. There was a basket, like a cradle. He drew out that basket, that cradle. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam peered into the basket and he saw a very, very old woman, frail. Her body is curled up. In old age, many people's bodies tend to shrink. Their bodies curl up. And he noticed this old woman appeared to be like a little bird in that basket. She could not move by her own. She was resting. So this was the mother of this butcher, the young man. He went up to the basket. Before that, he took that piece of meat, he roasted it, he cooked it. He came to the basket, made his mother sit up. He personally fed the meat into the mouth of his mother. And the mother's clothes were soiled, lying whole day in that basket. He removed the clothes, washed the clothes, put on clean clothing for her, and put her back to rest. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam was amazed with the scene. Then he noticed the lips of that old woman moving. So he went close by, put his ear next to that woman's lips to hear what she is saying. She was making dua that, O Allah, make my son the companion of Musa alayhi salatu salam in Jannat. And the mother's dua is accepted. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam then reveals his identity. Until this time he did not expose, divulge who he was. He said to the son and to the mother, I am Musa, the Nabi of Banu Israel, and inshallah, I have been given divine revelation. Let me give you glad tidings. Your mother's dua has been accepted. You will be my companion in Jannat. Look at this, by fulfilling the right of the mother. So important. Father's rights are also on his place. Also very, very important. One sahabi came all the way from Yemen, came in the company of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, joined him for jihad, but he had one concern. He came up to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, O Nabi of Allah, I am voluntarily joining this expedition, but I have left my aged parents behind in Yemen. They were very upset with me leaving them with no one to care for them. I left them crying. So Nabi Karim Sam said to him, that go back to Yemen, just as you left them crying, go back and make them laugh now. Make them happy. Indicating that service to the parents is even more important than going out in the path of Allah. More important than going out in jihad. Especially when there is no other son, no other sibling to look after the parents. And parents need the services of their son. In one hadith we read, one sahabi came up, he said, tashkil has been made, I have presented my name to go out in jihad, but I have old, frail parents who need my attention. What should I do? Nabi Sallam said to him, fajahid fihima. Your jihad is in the service of your parents. Go back and serve your parents. So therefore this hadith is food for thought. Nabi Sallam says, the three actions are such, due to which a person's good deeds will hold no value whatsoever. And among them, disobedience of parents. This has been mentioned as one of the signs of Qiyamah. أَنْتَلِدَ الْأَمَّةُ رَبَّتَهَا. That a slave woman will give birth to her master. How can a slave woman give birth to her master? One of the meanings given by the commentator is this, that the mother will give birth to a son, she will care for him, nurture him, bring him up. But now when he's robust, full of energy, he wants to boss over the parents. Tell them what to do. So in this way, the parent that is supposed to be the master, the boss, they become the underling, and the children become the bosses over their parents. Another sign of Qiyamah mentioned, a time will come when a young man will be walking along the road with his elderly father. He will go past some of his friends. The friends will begin to laugh at him, that who is this old man that our friend is walking with? So look at this, one of the signs of Qiyamah. They will ask him, who is this old man? It's his father. But he will be too embarrassed to say it is my father. He will say, just some old buddy that is tagging along with me. Even ashamed to say that this is my father. And that we see happening today. Another hadith. Nabi Karim Sa'azam said to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in something that really astonished them, took them aback by surprise. Nabi Karim Sa'azam mentioned that a time will come when a person will swear at his parents, will be vulgar to his parents. The Sahaba were totally surprised. How can this be possible? The parent that was the means for the son coming into the world, and the son so disrespectful, swearing at the parents. How can this be possible? So Nabi Sallam elaborated that it happens indirectly. Yasubbu rajul aba rajulin fayasubbu abahu wa yasubbu ummahu fayasubbu ummahu. Aw kama qala li sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a person swears at another man's father in retaliation. He swears at your father. So you became the means for your father being sworn at. In that way, you are becoming guilty of having vulgar language used against your father. Rather remain silent. Do not insult that person's parents. He will not insult your parents. The Sahabi that asked this question perhaps would turn in his grave if he knew the condition of the world today. The children do not indirectly swear at their parents, they directly swear at their parents and hurl verbal abuse at their parents. Indeed, very, very unfortunate. Parents are such a great ni'mat, such a great bounty. In one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, مَا مِنْ وَلَدٍ بَارٍ يَنْظُرُ نَزَرَ رَحْمَةٍ إِلَىٰ وَالِدَيْهِ إِلَّا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ حَجًّا مَبْرُورَةً أو كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. That if an obedient child looks at his parents with a look of affection, look of love, Allah Ta'ala writes for him the reward of an accepted hajj. Just looking at the parents with affection. One Sahabi asked, وَلَوْ كَانَ فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ مِئَةَ مَرَّةٍ, that if a person looks at his parents with affection 100 times in the day, does that mean he will get the reward of 100 hajj? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, نَعَمْ أَلَّهُ أَكْبَرُ وَأَطْيَبُ, that yes, Allah is very great, Allah is very pure, His treasures are limitless. Look at your parents with the gaze of affection 1,000 times, and you'll get the reward of 1,000 hajj. Such is the beauty of our Shariat. But we tend to neglect. In one hadith, Nabi Sallam warns that kullu dhunub yuakhiru Allah Ta'ala ma sha Allah minha ila yawm al-qiyamah illa uquq al-walidain fa innahu yu'ajjilu li sahibihi fi al-hayat qabla al-mamat aw kama qala li sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every other sin is such that if a person does not repent, Allah Ta'ala postpones the punishment of the sin if he wishes for the akhirat. But there is one sin for which Allah Ta'ala punishes in this very world, and that is disobedience to parents. Like we say in English, As you sow, that is how you shall reap. Jaisa karoge, waisa bharoge. The way you treat your parents, your own children will treat you. A shocking incident mentioned in the kitabs. A wretched son ties a rope on the legs of his father and drags him to the outskirts of the town, near the garbage dump. He wants to drag him further, but the father pleads with the son that stop. If you take me further, that will be zulm. That will be oppression. So the son asks, I dragged you this far, that was not oppression. So he replied, no, I am paying for my misdeeds. When I was a young boy, I did the same to my father. I tied a rope around his legs and dragged him to the outskirts of the town, to this very point where you have dragged me. So what goes around, comes around. The way you treat your parents, that is how you will be treated. Hazrat Maulana Arshad Madani Rahmatullahi mentioned once an incident in Deoband. A shopkeeper, proud of himself, arrogant, that I have a thriving business. His father, aged father, comes to his shop for some need. Instead of attending to the need of the father, he beats the father up, throws him into the dirty nali of water in front of the shops, in full view of the public. Another shopkeeper, deeming inclined, expresses regret. But he has one concern, one thing troubling him. He says, I heard from the ulama that when a son does something to his father, his son will do the same thing to him. So this shopkeeper has no sons. What he has done to his father, there is no son to do this to him. But this shopkeeper had four daughters. One wretched daughter came up one day, fully clad in a cloak. And she drags the shopkeeper, her father, out from the shop, beats him up, throws him into the dirty nali of water. The way he treated his father, his daughter is also treating him. I have a friend. Allah Ta'ala blessed him with rosy sustenance. He was able to afford his own home. He purchased his own home for a substantial sum of money. And then he brought his parents to live with him. Alhamdulillah, to care for them. Instead of dumping them in an old age home, he brought them into his very personal home to care for them. My ustaz, Mufti Ahmad Sahab Khan Puri, Damat Barakatuhum, was in the country. And this friend of mine, also a student of Mufti Sahab Damat Barakatuhum. So he explained to Mufti Sahab, Hazrat, I purchased this home, make dua, and I brought my parents to live with me. My parents are living with me. Hazrat Mufti Sahab corrected him. You are saying it the wrong way. Even though you own the house, instead of saying that your parents are living with you, rather say you are living with your parents. The ihsan of your parents. Who brought you to this level that today you are able to afford your own home? Is the efforts of your parents. They educated you. Today we find certain children having certificates, diplomas, degrees, and they regard themselves superior than their parents because the parents are not educated. They are what they call in Urdu, anguta chap. They cannot even sign a document. They have to put a thumbprint. Not educated. But the son has a profession. He is an accountant, lawyer, doctor. And he shows his weight over his parents. Sometimes virtually throwing the parents out of the home. That is in my achievement. But you have to ponder. How can it be your achievement? That same mother prepared lunch for you, sent you off to school. That parent paid your school fees, educated you. Those parents sent you to college, to university. That is how you reach this level. And now you are so arrogant that I am more educated than my parents, so I will throw them out. Whereas the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, إِنَّمَا تُرْزَقُونَ بِضُعَفَائِكُمْ. In another narration, إِنَّمَا تُرْزَقُونَ وَتُنْصَرُونَ بِذُعَفَائِكُمْ أو كما قال الإسلام والسلام, that you are given sustenance by virtue of your weak and disabled family members around you. Your parents are weak. It is Allah Ta'ala's compassion with them that Allah provided you with the means to purchase a home, to become so wealthy, to become educated. It was their efforts. Today you're forgetting their efforts and being proud and haughty over them. That is not the correct way. Many incidents can be mentioned where children were well-to-do, they threw their parents out of their home and they went into financial problems, went into a deep hole. Until they cared for their parents, Allah Ta'ala showed them barakat in their rozi. But once they threw their parents out, many a time on instruction of the wife, she cannot tolerate her mother-in-law. So they told to leave the house. Then they see the recession coming, financial problems, right down into the ditch, not realizing that the parents were the means for sustenance coming. Today I have deprived myself from that means of sustenance. So a person does not have to be educated to be wealthy. Many people have no education, but Allah Ta'ala gives them a great amount of sustenance because of the service to their parents. We find cases where people with degrees, professions, out on the streets, cannot find jobs. An uneducated person that served his parents, looked after them, Allah Ta'ala blesses him with abundant rozi. He is not short of anything. But that person with a degree, diploma, cannot find a job. He is out on the streets. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali has mentioned one incident. We will end on this. Just to show that Allah Ta'ala blesses even uneducated people with abundant rozi by virtue of their good deeds, serving their parents, looking after their family members. One villager was on a journey. There was one camel on which he rode, another camel to carry his goods. Another wealthy person, looking seemingly wealthy, well-dressed, also accompanying this villager. Villager was uneducated. This person seemed educated, well-schooled. So the villager on his other camel, he had two bags, heavy bags, one on this side of the camel, one on the other side of the camel. So this educated gentleman became curious to know what has he filled in these two bags. So he asked him. This villager, simple man, simpleton, replied that in one bag I have wheat, which I am taking for my family. In the other bag, the bag is full of sand, nothing but sand. So this so-called educated man was amazed. He said to him, what a foolish man you are. You can get tons of sand in your village in front of your doorstep and you're putting sand in this bag to take home. So he gave the reason that if I have only this bag of wheat hanging on one side of the camel, it will create more difficulty for the camel because his body will be inclined towards the right side, one side. By putting an equally heavy bag of soil on the other side, it balances the weight and it is easy for the camel to walk. So this educated man tells him, how foolish you are. Instead of taking a bag full of soil, the same bag of wheat, distributed in half, put half in this bag, half in the other bag, it will still be balanced and the camel will be able to walk even faster. It won't have such a load. So he said, yes, why didn't I think of this? So he threw out the soil, the bag of wheat, he put half into that empty bag. This bag, this side, the other bag, that side. Now it is only half the load and also balanced off on the back of the camel, easy for the camel to walk. So this villager, uneducated person, thinks to himself that this man is very intelligent. If he's intelligent, he must be very wealthy. So he asks him, how many goats do you possess? He says, no, nothing whatsoever. How many sheep do you own? Nothing whatsoever. How many cattle? He said, nothing. How many horses? Nothing whatsoever. How many buffalo? How many oxen? Nothing whatsoever. So this uneducated man tells him that you are educated and you don't have a dime to your name. I have so many hundreds of goats, so many hundreds of sheep, hundreds of cattle, oxen, buffalo. So if this person is so educated, yet he possesses nothing to his name, then he did not give me good advice. So the poor villager takes the load of the camel. Again he fills the wheat in one bag, he fills the other bag with soil and proceeds in the old way. Then this person does not possess anything, he has no right to give me advice. So nevertheless, by virtue of service to the parents, Allah Ta'ala gives barakat in our rosy too. Those of us whose parents are alive, Allah give us a tawfiq and the ability to appreciate them, to serve them, to obey them, to be respectful to them. And those whose parents are deceased, ulama have written, if a person was disobedient, he can still make amends. The way to make amends, make abundant istighfar for your parents, give charity on their behalf, recite the Quran, send isal thawab, visit their qabars. In that way, inshallah, one will be noted as an obedient child. Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah.